And I'm delighted to be joined on the line by the leader of Brentwood Council. It's Chris Hossack. Are you there, Chris?
I am indeed. Good afternoon, Michelle.
Great to talk to you. Last week we spoke to the Director of Operations, Greg Campbell, which was his first time on radio.
Yeah, he did well.
He did brilliantly.
It's nice to spread it about a little bit. You know?
Yes.
And before that you had Keith, didn't you, I think?
Yes, I did, yeah. And Jonathan as well, obviously the CEO.
Oh, yeah. There's a number of people in the organisation who were putting a lot into it, so it's good that they can tell their story too. So that's what I like to do.
Very, very man. Do you know what I thought this morning, actually? And I shouldn't say this because it's the best person for the job, that's what it should always be. But I'm wondering when we're going to hear from a female from Brentwood Council.
Ah,
yes.
What a really good point. And we've got plenty of very good, capable females in the organisation that could really make a solid contribution to any cross-examination from Phoenix FM, so I will line those up. In fact, here's a promise.
Right.
The next two you have will be ladies, very much ladies. We'll get them on. There's a lot they can talk about, a lot of good work going on by people, females in the organisation.
Yeah, and it isn't, as I said, it isn't, you know, for me, I always think it's the best person for the job. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female.
Absolutely. Look, it is. We're all human beings, and too much focus is given on sexes. It's about doing the job and being having the right attitude to the job. I don't care what sex or what you identify as. If you're great at doing a job, then that's on the basis you should be employed to do it. And you know, we've got some great women in this organisation, so we'll get them on, Michelle. That's a deal. I'm glad you raised the point. I actually feel a bit bad that we haven't thought about that, so good for you for raising it.
Thank you. Now we're going to kick off with the country park. Very strange times. It is the bank holiday this weekend, and also to get the distinction we were saying off air about the country parks and local parks and who looks after what and what's going to be open.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for putting that forward. So in Brentwood, we've got people were asking me, I've been in, I said, when are the parks going to be open? I said, they're open. And he came back and said, no, they're not. I think South Weald and Fulham have been closed ever since. I said, that's Essex County Council. So we've got two Essex County Council parks in the borough, South Weald and Fulham. Essex reopened those finally on yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Unless time's flown, it was last week. I can't remember. But anyway, they're reopened. You know, usual conditions. They're not fully reopened. There's some of the facilities in there, like the cafe is not open, the play areas, the stick man in South Weald is not open. But generally speaking, the main thing was to get the blooming car parks open so you could get the cars out of the lane into the car parks, and then people can use, you know, drive to the park and then use it. So Thorndon and South Weald are open. Mm-hmm. Brentwood Council's parks have been open. The open space of the parks have been open.
Yeah.
And of course, the obvious thing to say is play areas where, you know, there's lots of equipment that can be touched and kids are on and kids are off, and gym equipment, which we've got at Worley and elsewhere, Mount Nessing, that can be touched, and, you know, people are contacting multiple services multiple times, they're closed for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But getting out into the open space and using that space and being able to park up to do so is now something we can all do. So as you say, it's the bank holiday this weekend. Go and enjoy them. But be mindful, there might be and we've said this about other things, haven't we? There could be a real pent-up demand to get out and get into South Weald. If you find the car park's full, it's because, you know, everybody's wanting to get in there. So you might just want to think about, you know, maybe letting the rush die down in some way. So just be mindful of that. I know it's hard to say because it's a country park. The weather's looking good and it's a bank holiday weekend again, of course. They seem to come around so many. We seem to have so many bank holidays in this pandemic period. But yeah. Just to make people mindful, you know, there could be a rush on it, but it is open, so try and get yourselves in there and enjoy the fresh air.
Now, Brentwood, we were talking last week to Greg about the plans for reopening. Obviously, it comes from central government, then to Brentwood Council to decide how it is going to work when things start to reopen.
I think the guidelines, I mean, look, in the workplace, every business is following government guidelines. Okay, so, you know, we had this thing, didn't we, the other week when the Prime Minister was on a Sunday evening last, and about getting people back to work, and then, you know, being in, going to work. You know, I think he talked about manufacturers and I can't remember the other category he gave, but, you know, while you're in work, if you can be 2 meters apart to do that, manufacturing and construction, that was it.
Yeah.
And trying to do that. So the government has set guidelines. It's down to employers to make sure that when they are open for business, that their employees are going to be safe.
Yeah.
And of course, a lot of big employers are unionized. So the unions are very much taking a view to make sure that actually, if you can't bring employers back to work safely, then we don't want our members to be turning up.
Mm-hmm.
So we as a council don't take responsibility for that. We've got to take responsibility for ourselves. And we're in the town hall now, and we're putting all sorts of measures in place. I've just been in the town hall. I've just used a photocopier. You've got to wipe the thing down when you've done. We've got these step and pull fantastic things that was introduced to me by one of your guys, and we've fitted them on the door. In fact, that's worked well. That was an intro from Phoenix FM, and the gent who does the step and pull product, we're going to be in touch with him because we want to know more. In fact, it's a do list for today.
Yeah.
So we're putting these mechanisms in place, so we're making it safe for people to be back in the building without spreading any contamination around. So every employer's got to take their own responsibility, but follow the government guidelines.
Yep. And what about the actual, on the high street? Have you there any plans how it's going to work, or it's still ongoing?
Yeah. It's a dialogue we're having, but the plan is taking shape. So the plan is this, is to tackle the problem we're already seeing is when, you know, we haven't got all of the high street shops open yet, but the supermarkets have been open and some of the other ones are sort of creaking back into life.
Mm.
You know, for example, doing takeaways and people can go in and collect what they've pre-ordered and stuff like that. So that's starting to happen. But what you see already on the high street is the queues on the pavement. Because, again, go back to the employers. They're saying, you know, they've got their own policies that says, you know, we can only let you in the store one or two or three at a time or whatever it might be, depending on the size of the store. So whilst there's that bottleneck to go through the front door, the queue is on the high street outside.
Mm.
Then you've got the queue from literally the queue for Starbucks, for example, is intermingling with the queue for Iceland.
Yeah.
And it's taking up the space on the pavement, let alone the space for the pavements needed for the pedestrians to just walk up and down.
Mm.
So we're going to have crowding on the pavements. So what we are looking to do is increase that space by taking some of the actual roadway.
Yeah.
So we've got enough space for people to keep distant without, and keep the high street utilised. We can't have it, you know, we need to open it, but we've got to open it in a controlled way. And I had a conversation this morning with Jonathan, chief exec, who, you know, has been on, and Alex Burkhart was on the phone as well, and we were just talking that through, because it's all very well having a plan, and we do have a plan around what I've just sort of described, but if it becomes too much, you know, there's a flood, it's chaotic, people are not able to maintain what they need to do, then we also need to have a plan to deal with that. Because at what point do you say, hang on, guys, this is too much, you know, we're heaving, we're rubbing shoulders with each other. So I don't think that will happen, and people need to be mindful of their own space and how they respect the space of others. But yeah, all of that is going on, Michelle, real practical levels. We've got some branding. The brand is Brentwood Open, and we're going to have sub-brands of Shenfield Open, Ingatestone Open.
Yeah.
We're going to have branding going up that's reminding people about the spacing and everything else. So when we're back open fully in these three high streets, the message will be reinforced about how people need to conduct themselves to make sure that we're, you know, respecting social distancing measures.
Now, I've got a message here from Tony that's just come in while I'm on the phone to you. He said,
yeah.
I'd asked about potholes. I've seen that there is a team fixing them in Brentwood, and they've done loads of the urgent ones as well.
Yeah.
Well,
so Tony asked the question the other week, and I think I said at the time when I answered it that I'd seen some anecdotal evidence of doing it. And I said I'd go to Councillor Kevin Bentley at Essex, who's the highways portfolio holder, to say, look, Kevin, actually, have we ramped up what we're doing? And the answer was not so much that we've ramped up, but of course, we're taking advantage of the lower traffic situation.
Mm.
So they have, and thankfully, you know, Tony's observed that. We're starting to see evidence of that. So the Ongar Road has had some of the patches done all over Brentwood. It's happening. So they certainly didn't back off, and they've been trying to take advantage of the lower traffic flows on the roads of Essex to get stuff done. And that's what you're seeing evidence of now.
Again, with the fly tipping, I know it's a problem that is on the increase at the moment. Shouldn't be, because the tips are open, but there are people doing it. I know you'll find people if you can catch them.
Yeah, so look, I mean, the progress on fly tipping, there's no progress as such in terms of, you know, nothing's changed. We didn't back off on fly tipping, tracking those people down, prosecuting them where appropriate. In fact, I'm just as you're talking to me, I'm just opening up something on my computer to see if we've done something on that in the last. Yeah, I mean, look, we're picking up fly tips as we normally do, and the measures that we try and the evidence we try and gather to prosecute the people who are doing this stuff is not changed. In fact, you know, we've been putting out. I've got some numbers in front of me in terms of what we've been doing. You know, we're still out there trying to issue. Not for the sake of it, we don't want to do it, but when people drop litter, they will get fixed penalty notices. We've done 4 of those in the last week for littering. Somebody's got a fixed penalty notice for the dog fouling in the last week, so we're still keeping on doing all of that, trying to keep people in order. One of the things that, again, that I'm just looking at here, we've issued 8 warning letters for early presentation of waste. I'll tell you what people have started to do, and they really need to stop doing it, and I'll take this opportunity to do it, is the council policy is do not present your waste before 7 a.m. on the morning that's due for collection. Too many people are putting their rubbish out a night before, or sometimes 2 days before. It's so obvious why we say do it not before seven on the day. It's because the foxes get into it, they rip it open, and it becomes a filthy mess all over the street. So people need to get back to following the rules, and if you don't, ultimately you can end up, you'll get a warning letter, and if you continue to do it, you'll be fined. Because basically you're littering in a much probably worse way than somebody dropped a crisp packet. So I'm glad you brought that up, Michelle, because I've just taken the opportunity to do a public service message to remind people to follow the rules, not before 7 a.m. on collection day.
Now, cash grant scheme, it's gone incredibly well. Loads of businesses have been helped by this, with grants up to 10,000 to 25,000. How many businesses have been helped so far, and what's the total?
So, I've got the numbers in front of me. We've helped 1,063 businesses so far, and we've allocated £14.875. £14.875 million pounds of grant. So we're not fully there yet. That's probably over 85% of those that are entitled have had the money in the bank. We are mopping up the last sort of 10-15%. So come on. You're entitled, get your form filled out, and we'll get that money into your account.
Brilliant.
So we're making good progress. It's the same with anything. You always get, for whatever reason, the last few tend to be the ones that are the hardest to mop up and take the most time.
Yeah.
But we're pretty much there. If you're a business out there listening, you're entitled to a grant, please get your form filled out. And you know, we've got a balance of government grant government money to get into your accounts to support you through this difficult period.
Yeah, and I was also saying earlier, I'm self-employed. My main job is as a singer. Obviously, that's all gone because there's no gigs.
Yes.
And I went to the government website for being self-employed, and I got money. So it is available there. Whether you got your, you know, whether you are self-employed as well, please do go and check it out, because the money came through really quickly.
And, you know, there's a form to be filled out, I get that, and if you're struggling to fill out the form, then contact us on 312-500, we'll do our best to talk you through it. Somebody had emailed me this morning, said they felt it was a bit intrusive. Well, you know, you've got to ask questions. You can't just say, what's your name, what's your postcode, there's 10 grand, or whatever. You know, you've got to give an element of personal detail, so, you know, the whole scheme is based on qualification and meeting criteria, so... You know, I'm sorry it's like that, but, you know, that's the nature of these things. You can't give money away without having checks and measures and the right questions asked.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously you've been through that yourself, Michelle, and you've had a good turnaround. So
it's very easy. Very, very easy. All you have to do is a couple of bits of information, and then that's it, and they can calculate it from how much you've paid. So it's pretty straightforward. With the COVID testing, is there going to be any plans with Brentwood Council offer the testing if it's available, so people can say they've actually had the virus and they can therefore be certificated to go back out? Is that something that has been discussed at the moment?
So testing obviously, as we know, is rolling out further and further and reaching more people. The council themselves, we won't administrate the testing. That'll come from the sort of clinical side of the public sector to do that. In terms of, you know, as it starts to reach a broader audience of people, you know, clearly there'll be priorities in that, and, you know, people who are vulnerable first, you know, would be sort of head of the queue for the testing. So I haven't got in front of me any detail about that, but I do know that, you know, from what we can all pick up, the testing regime is rolling out in a broader way every day, but it will come from the clinical side of the public sector to actually administrate that and make that happen. I haven't got any information in front of me, in terms of what we're doing. And obviously key workers as well, we need to make sure that the people who are keeping the machine running are also, prioritised in that way as well. Mm. It's a difficult one, but it's like everything, isn't it? With these grants, there are people who qualify and people who miss out, by a small margin. But when you're allocating things like tests or cash, you've got to have criteria. And when you have criteria, somebody always, is further down the queue perhaps than somebody else. But that's the nature of it. It's difficult, I know, and we'd like everybody to be a priority, but you have to work a scheme through its process, really.
Now, community groups, support network and hub.
Yes, yeah, so, as we know, during this last 2 months really now, it's been a fantastic effort from all sorts of community support networks that set up volunteer groups predominantly. So Brentwood Mutual Aid, Brentwood Residents Action Group, the churches that got involved, St Pete's down in Hutton setting up a hub. The regular people that have been around for a while lending a hand into our community, people like Food Bank and Man of Meals and all these other good organisations that have really stepped up to the plate. We've tried to keep a track on what's been going on. We've helped over 1,600 people in the last sort of 2 months or so now, or last 4 weeks actually. It's around about, it's around about 260 odd people a week.
Yeah.
So there's a fantastic effort gone on, and whether that's been collecting food, delivering food, collecting people's prescriptions, delivering their prescriptions, befriending people, picking up the phone to people. There's a huge effort that's been going on from the volunteer group, and we couldn't have touched that many people and supported that many people if these groups hadn't have pulled themselves together really early on in the process. And as volunteers, and so many people form part of a volunteer network in Brentwood, and you can't thank them enough, really, for what they've done. And I'm sure the people who've been recipients of the benefits of what they've brought are more than grateful.
The can in the van, is that going to be happening? Is that on an ongoing basis?
Yeah, look, we did it last week. I've discussed it, and I want it to be on an ongoing basis. And I think it's not just a one. I think it needs to be, and I've said this to the guys. So we do have we do community calls every week. And we've got a core team of people that are focused on the food side of things. So some of the, people like Food Bank and people who are specialising in that sort of field, we've got them sort of focused on keeping an eye on food stocks and stuff like that. We've got stock at the town hall, they've got stock at Food Bank, other people have got stocks in freezers around at the community hubs that we've set up as well. We can't just do it and leave it. We've got to do it again, and we will revisit it, because I might have said it last week or one time we're on, we're coming out of this phase of the pandemic where restrictions are starting to loosen off, a little bit more freedom coming each week. But that doesn't mean just because we're going back into reduced restrictions that people aren't losing their jobs, people aren't still on furlough, people aren't feeling pressures in other ways. So people are going to feel the difference. If you lose your job today, you could be out of work for the next 3 to 6 months finding the right thing. So how are you going to support your family on basic things like paying the bills, buying the food, etc.? So, I said it before, I'll say it again, the community have still got to pull together to look out for those that are going to be less fortunate. And there's whole different levels of people being less fortunate, one to another. But, it's going to be a tough time for months to come. Who knows, maybe even for a year to come.
Yeah.
People are losing their jobs as we speak, and that's just the nature of it. And we see it on the news, don't we? Rolls Royce, I know it's up in Derbyshire, but they're having to lay about 9,000 people off. And all of the spin-off from that, for all I know, there's probably a business in Essex that's supplying components to Rolls Royce in Derbyshire. There probably is. So people are going to be hit and feel the impact of this for months beyond, even when we can all get back to the parks and everything else and have a barbecue together. People still might be unemployed. So, we've got to keep long rambling answer to your question, Michelle, but we've got to keep doing food collections, I'm sure. What would add, though, to make and to reinforce that, is two things. One, the food bank have still always got a permanent drop off point within Sainsbury's, so people can still do that even when we're not outside with the van.
Yeah.
And again, to say we still have a drop off point at the town hall. So if we don't get out and do it again for another week or two, doesn't mean that we can't still take food. Sainsbury's will take food bank at their point, and we will take food at the town hall for our collection point as well. So if you missed it last Thursday, I think we did it, you can still drop food off. If you're doing a bit of shopping now, the message is always just buy something a little bit extra, even if it's a can of beans or a packet of spaghetti or whatever it is, and you know, non-perishable food, and that all goes into our store, and we do distribute that around to people who need it.
Excellent. What are your plans for this weekend, Chris? What will you be doing besides working, probably?
No, do you know what? I might try and stop. The weather's good. You know, it's still difficult. I still feel a little bit. Can you go out? Can you come? Can you see friends? You can watch the line. You can meet them in a public space as long as you're 2 meters away. Mm. So I don't know. We're as a family, we'll do something. We'll probably get into the country parks. We'll walk the dog out in the fields like we do every weekend. I just like being outside. It clears my head.
Yeah.
If the weather's great, which it looks like it will be, then that's what we'll do. We'll spend time as a family. We might try and socially distance, have a beer across the fence in the back garden with the neighbours. We've done a bit of that.
Mm.
And that'll carry on. So we'll try and enjoy it to the best we can. But again, you know, let's everyone be sensible again. I know we've said we had this conversation with the last bank holiday, you know, not even a month ago. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We've made a lot of good progress on social distancing to curtail and reduce the infection rate, which has gone down massively. Let's remember that what we do need to avoid at all costs is a second spike.
Yes.
So let's try and be mindful of that.
Great. Lovely to talk to you. And then next week we will be talking to one of the ladies from Brentwood Council.
Right, yes. I now need to set that up. In fact, as I was on the call to you in my office, one of the ladies I had in mind walked past my window and waved, and I'm going to go and see her now and put an order, so she will sort that out.
Excellent.
Don't worry about it.
Thank you.
It's a good
you.
Call, and we do need to do it. You're absolutely right.
Thanks very much. Lovely to speak to you, Chris. Have a great weekend, and we'll be talking to Brentwood Council again on Friday.
All the best. You
Lovely.
Take care.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
See
bye.
You, bye.
That was Chris Hossack, who is the leader of Brentwood Council.